I want to ask you to join me in prayer as we look to the Lord, to His scriptures, and ask that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. Gracious Lord, we thank You for this morning. Thank You that You are an awesome God, a good God, God who loves us so much that we can't imagine the depths of Your love. We pray, Lord God, that You speak to us about that today now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was young, I was in a lot of basketball leagues and teams, and I was decent, so I was part of the starting five. So we won a few tournaments, and every time we would win one, I would get a nice trophy. But there were 12 of us. You know, in basketball, you get 12 people, and way at the end of the bench was always a couple guys we let in just because, you know, they know us. They're horrible. And they don't score a point ever, even in garbage time. But they got the same trophy. We never mind it. We know they're scrubs. And they know they're scrubs. They go home and tell their moms how great they were and put it in the mantle. But we know otherwise. You know, when the Texans win the Super Bowl, next January or February, whenever that is, there are 53, I think, players in the team. And there's a few scrubs. There really are. But you know, the money they get, along with the ring, it's the same. You know that? Not the contract money, but the playoff money. Every time they win another step, they get tens of thousands. It's amazing how much they get. It amounts to the hundreds of thousands, you know, each player. You could be a scrub, you still get that. See, because you're part of something, that's the membership. The scripture tells us something that was interesting, really interesting about the Apostle Paul. Paul was going around, you know, with his missionary journeys and all, and he had a lot of people that didn't like him and wanted to hurt him and persecuted him and so forth. And one particular time he went and the city people came and took him and they kind of beat him. They did all kinds of things to him. And then suddenly he said, "Do you guys know I am a Roman citizen?" Scare these people half to death. And not only was he a Roman citizen, he was born a Roman citizen. You see, he was part of a membership that was greater than these tens of millions of people all throughout the empire. He was a citizen of Rome. And the guys that were holding on to him, beating him, were not. And you're not allowed to do that. You see, because there's privilege in being a part of something. I sometimes wonder whether we understand who we are as God's people. As the children of the living God, the creator of the universe, whether we understand who we are and what we are and what we have. Do you know that you and I are heirs of the kingdom? I think sometimes, you know, we go to church and we just think we're a member of CBC or we're a member of this church or that church, whatever it is, and it's a membership. You know, the membership gives you privileges. Did you know, by the way, if you went to one of 18 schools in Texas, including Baylor, because you're a member of CBC, you get a big scholarship? Did you know that? If you didn't know that, I want you to know that, all right? And parents, if you didn't know that for your children, you should know that. Get a lot of scholarship because you're a member of our convention. So that's what we think it is, but I want you to understand that it's far more than that. It is far more than that. We as God's people, because we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, because of all that He has done for us, we are called an heir right here in the scripture. Not only here. We are heir. What does that mean? We are members of what I would like to call an heir of the kingdom or kingdom heir. That's what we are. And when we think of heir, we think of a lot more than just having our names on a sheet of paper somewhere that we can go and say, okay, you're a member of CB. We're a lot more than that. So I want to share with you today from this passage what the Apostle Paul wanted to tell the believers in the province of Galatia. First of all, the significance of your inheritance. Do you know how significant it is? I know, you know, if you're a part of the royal family, you got all that stuff. In fact, I was just watching them, was it yesterday, the day before, and there was a news article, a video of them doing things. I'm like, what do they do anyway? They don't even have a job, you know? Kate and her husband and the kids and all, just go around looking pretty. That's their job. That's their inheritance. They're millionaires just because. You know, we as God's people, do you understand the significance of our inheritance? I know we always think, wow, yeah, we're going to have eternal life. And we don't even think about what that means. But the scripture tells us, you know, what it is. First of all, your name, my name, is written in the book of life. It's not just some flimsy piece of paper that someone can throw away. It is in the book of life that nobody can touch. It is in heaven. It is before the Almighty God. My name, Dan Ho, whatever name I'm going to be called later on, is right there. You know what significance that is? You know how great that is? I am a part of eternity. Not only that, when I became a believer, when I became an heir of the kingdom, somebody came into my life. His name is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the living God comes into my life. Oh my goodness. He chooses to have fellowship with me and lives and indwells in me. There is a God person inside me and you. You know how significant that is? This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us. That is part of our inheritance. And not only that, he begins to do things in your life. I don't know if you recognized it when you came to know the Lord. Maybe it's been a little while, or maybe you were young when that happened and you don't remember it. But you know what? God begins to do all kinds of stuff in your life. He changes who you are. Maybe physically you're the same because this is the body that's going to die. But inside your essence is different. I mentioned, you know, when I became a Christian at the age of 13, immediately every curse word came out of me. It's gone. I can't even mention it. I can't even mumble it out. He changed me. He turned my tongue inside out. Instead of speaking perverseness, I can speak good things. He changed my desires. The desires of my heart were not to go after the sinful things anymore. I wanted good things. I actually began to memorize scriptures, something that I could care less about before. And then, you know what? I began to see people differently. I used to be just competitive and angry at people. And then something changed inside of me that I actually began to care about people. More than that, you know what else is a part of our inheritance? It's something called, the scriptures call it the spiritual gifts. God actually begins to put things into your life that are supernatural and spiritual, things that you could never do otherwise. If you are a teacher, let's say, for instance, perhaps God has made it so that you can not only just teach, but you can teach supernatural things. Perhaps before, you know, you're just bumbling around. You don't know what you're doing. You have no direction and guidance. Suddenly God's giving you the gift of wisdom, and you can begin to discern things and understand things that you otherwise may not. There's all kinds of stuff that God puts into your life. They're supernatural. You don't have them. You were not born with them at all physically. But now that you're born again in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God puts those in you. And all of us have that. These are awesome things. People go to school for those things. People want to go and get higher education, hoping they can have some of these skills and abilities. No. The Spirit of God gives them to us supernaturally. And then later on, we're going to talk about this in the book of Galatians. We'll talk about the fruit of the Spirit, the stuff that is unbelievable, to have patience with things that you could never and should not have, to have grace and mercy and gentleness with people that you couldn't possibly think of, and on and on and on. These are your inheritance. And not only that, the Bible tells us something else. And I know we tell our children these kind of things, and sometimes I think we forget about them when we get older, and that is, He has a place for us in heaven. I'm going to talk about this a little more a little later, but you know, we're going through the cults, you know, in my Sunday school class. And as I'm studying these cults, I'm kind of like, wow, these guys are crazy. You know, they believe these kinds of things. And one of the things, you know, that the Mormons believe in, did you know that they believe that you are God, we are all gods, and eventually we are all going to rule our own planet. There's trillions of planets out there. We're going to be somewhere out there, and that's Dan Ho's planet. I'm going to be God of that planet. Now, that's weird. But I want to tell you, there's a little bit of that in the scripture here, because the Bible tells us that we're going to have a mansion. There's a place where the Lord has been preparing for us. There's an awesome, awesome inheritance of great significance. I put that little castle out there for you to look at, in a sense, you know. We are going to rule. We're going to live in a place that is so awesome. I know you said, well, you know, we don't care about that now, you know. Well, you know what? You should think about that. You should think about the fact that as Jesus promised that he's going away to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come back and bring us to that. This is what it is. You know, one of the things that the scripture talks about, you know, it's kind of like a race, you know. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. Now, the only way that can happen is if everybody is there at the same time, right? So the first and last, same thing. And it's true. When you go to heaven, when you have eternal life, you have eternal life, I have eternal life, we're all there at the same time. The last and the first, all at the same time. That is about eternal life, but not about eternal rewards. The Lord said, I am building the place for you. This is the inheritance that you have that God has promised. It is significant. It is because you are an heir. You are going to get that. You're going to receive that because he's promised it. And you say, I don't care. Well, you should care. Especially as we grow older and older and older, we're getting closer and closer to that line. The significance of our inheritance because we are heirs. Now let's look at the cause of your inheritance. In this scripture, it tells us how. You see, we are human beings, and as sinful human beings, we have a tough time with this. We always have to think that we have to earn it. You know, we have to earn our father's attention. We have to earn our school, our teachers, you know, grades. We have to earn. That's what we do. You know, we're living in a sinful world. That's how we are. And so, you know, I talked about how some of the cults will think of some strange things. But I want to tell you, all the religions and all the cults of this world, this is what they always do. They always make it so that you have to work for it. You have to do something for it. In all the major religions of this world, you have to work for it. Whether it's Islam, or Hinduism, Buddhism, whatever it is, you have to work for it to get to a better place. You have to. And even if it's just karma, you know how it is, you are going to reincarnate. But in order for you to be a better person and not a creature next life, you have to work for it. That's just who we are. We can't grapple with the concept of grace. We can't grapple that God Almighty is going to do it for us. We just have a tough time with that. And so even in Christianity, we get that way. And that's exactly what was happening with the Gentiles, Galatians, the Gentiles here. They were saying, it doesn't make sense that we just get it from God. We have to do something. Well, maybe it's being circumcised. Maybe it's becoming Jewish. Maybe it's fulfilling all these things. We have to do something. Because you see, we are sinful human beings. We think that we can dictate our destiny and our future. And Paul wanted them to know, no. You need to understand. Before you and I were heirs, before we have received this inheritance from the Almighty God, something had to happen. And it's not you and I doing all these penance and doing all these good things. No. It is you and I just believing and receiving something that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And he defines it there. Jesus, the Son of the living God, becoming a man. And then dying on the cross of Calvary for us. We can't do anything for that. All we can do and need to do is to receive it. That's it. We receive it as God's grace in our lives. That will give you inheritance from the Almighty God. Isn't that great? You don't have to do anything whatsoever. You can't do anything whatsoever. There is nothing you can do to make you more deserving of God's gift. All you can do is say, yes, I want it. I love that. I love that because I shared it thousands of times to people before. And I've seen thousands of people give their lives to the Lord just like that. Just like when I did it. When I knew I had done nothing to deserve any of it, but I said, Lord Jesus, would you become my Lord and Savior? I want it. And then he made me a child, and he made me an heir, and he gave me this great and awesome inheritance that I am living out, and also I have to look forward to. Now the third thing, I love this one, I love this. The passionate quality of your inheritance. It isn't just that, you know, here it is, now, son, you know, here's your inheritance. Here it is, this is your estate, go for it. Now, most of us have probably gone through one of these kind of things, our parents who may have passed away, right? You go there and there's probate and there's this and that and all the legal things. And you look through, you know, all the paperwork. You don't know what's going on. But essentially, you're going to get something. You know, get a few bucks here, a few properties here, whatever it is you get. That's your inheritance, you know. But I love it that here it doesn't talk about it like that. In fact, it describes something about the person who gave us the inheritance, God. And it describes him as Father, Daddy, Abba. The word Abba is interesting. You know, in Chinese, actually, that's in Cantonese, that's what I call my father, you know, Abba, 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 right? You guys did that. Baba. Abba. It's just Abba. It's just right from the Greek, you know, right from here. Abba. It's a very personal thing. You don't go and call your personal father something else, you know. It's just really sensitive. And I love that about God because he says, I am your daddy. I am your Abba. I don't know how many of you have experience working with orphans or orphanages. Some of you have adopted, so you know. If you haven't, I would encourage you to visit an orphanage. I know in America we don't really have orphanages. Most of what we have are these kind of the foster homes and stuff like that, and we send all the children that way. But go to an orphanage, maybe in Europe, maybe in South America, maybe in Asia when you go there. Go to an orphanage in China, there's lots and lots of them. It gives you a dimension that you're not going to get by just hearing it. And just learning about it. You can't do that. There are about 140 million officially orphans in this world put out by the United Nations, but people are guessing that that's not counting the homeless children, the children that are in labor camps, the trafficked children, and there's so many. I mean, to do things like that to the children is unbelievable, but that's what we do, sinful human beings. And if you went to these orphanages, something that happens, and it happened to us many, many times. We'll go there, like one that was about 3 or 4 year old orphanage, and go there, and the little kids will come up and just hold your hand. They start calling you Papa. And if you're a woman, Mama. They're just waiting, you know, they're looking for their Mama and Papa. They want something. It's not just food, they have food. It's not clothes, they have clothes in the orphanage. It's not a safe place. It is fairly safe in some of these orphanages, not all. But they're looking for something else. They're looking for some intimate connection with a daddy, with mommy. That's what they're looking for. And if you just sat there, they'll surround you. Why would they surround you? They don't even know who you are. But they need that. It is so precious. You know, it just breaks your heart when you see these and these children, and then you realize that you can't take them home. You know, when you leave these orphanages, you just feel so like, just stabs you. And there's once in a while, and a couple of times, I've seen them where the parents are coming, you know, that want to adopt. There's this one from Italy, I remember, a couple, and they wanted to adopt this little boy. And, you know, it sounds awful. But even adopting parents do this, you know? They go to the orphanage and they begin to look at them. They look at them physically. They look at them sociologically, personality-wise, and they can't help it. I'm not judging them, but they pick the best ones. And sure enough, they pick this little boy that was gorgeous, handsome little boy, you know? And then there are all these ones with little defects here and there, little social defects or physical defects, and you're like, are they ever going to get taken? They're probably not. But that's what happens. I want to share with you this picture, and I shared it before. This little boy is 7 years old. I took this picture of him. His name is Tolik. And he's kind of a social orphan. He doesn't have a father. Had a mother that was just in addiction all the time. And so he was hungry. So he started coming to the orphanage that we were working with. And they decided to feed him in the morning. Every morning he'll come. He's about 7 or 8. Look at him. He's about 7 or 8. Really skinny. And he would eat. So I went up to him, and he looked at me like that at first. And then I said hello to him in my broken Russian, you know, and he put his arms around that food right there. He thought, I'm going to take it away from him because he's used to that. I said, no, Tolik, you can have it. And I said, can I take a picture of you? So I took a picture of him. 2 months later, I got a phone call. And on the other end, this friend of mine who said, you know, got bad news for you. They found little Tolik drowned in a fountain. I'm pretty sure I know which one it is. Someone had killed him. And no one cared. No one cared. I want to tell you, those things, you know, they tear at my heart. Because I know him. A little body floating in this shallow fountain in the center of the city. You know, are we the same like them? Spiritually, yes, we are. Believe it or not, we are children that are in desperate need of the Father to care. And he does. He takes us in. He gives us an inheritance that is awesome. But more than anything else, it isn't just the food and clothing and the shelter that he gives to us. He gives to us something that these 140 million orphans are looking for so desperately. Someone that they can love. Someone that will love them. Someone that will hold their hands and say, I am here for you. And by the way, if you're a father or a mother, but particularly fathers, you need to know that sociologically, children see God the way they see their father. So however you're treating your children, they're going to think God is treating them that way. You know, it'd be so nice not just to give them food and furniture and housing and toys, you know, to sit down with them and say, sit by me, son. Let me talk to you a little bit. Tell me about your life. Tell me about your day. Tell me what's happened today. What happened at school? These are the things that are so precious. And you know what the scripture says? Abba, Father, so that we can hold on to the hands of our Father in heaven. Say, Daddy, Abba, I want to tell you something about my day today. It was kind of hard. You know, it was kind of hard. I had people making fun of me. I had people criticizing me. I had done this and this and that, and it didn't work. Lord, Abba, I want to tell you about it. Isn't that great? To have a passionate quality. This inheritance is not just this thing on a sheet of paper. It isn't just you're going to be in heaven, eternal life. Oh, you're not going to die forever, you know? It's something that's so personal. And I want to tell you, God has made it that way now. Now. Not when we die and go to heaven. He's right there. And if you never sensed his caring arms around you, you missed a lot. You missed a lot. You know, as Paul moves into the spiritual dimension, as we move on, in this tiny little letter, I want to encourage you to get an understanding of all that you have in Christ. Two things I want to leave you with as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper in a moment. First of all, if you are not an heir, oh man, you want to become one. And it's your choice. It is your choice. John 3:16 tells us that it's your choice. Jesus Christ died for you. You just have to receive him. Do what was described here. And you become a child of the living God. You become a part of the family of God, as we mentioned last week. You become that person with an inheritance that nothing in this world could ever, ever come close to. And then you have this Father who's right there that loves you so much. Second thing, I know most of you already have that. If you need to revive it, remember it, you know, I encourage you to do so. But can I ask you to tell your friends and your family what an awesome inheritance you have? Because they can have it too. And you know what? If you bring your brother to the Lord, you don't get less. See, you don't have to share it like that, you know. Oh, I got to split it in half. No. You get still as much as you ever had. And your brother gets it. You know, your friends at work, you know, you just kind of know them a little. It's a new job you're in. And there it is. You know, these guys don't know anything about the Lord. You share it with them. Bring them to church. Let them understand some things. Say, you know, Jesus loves you. And he has this great inheritance for you. Don't you want it? I want you to have it. I want to tell you, do that. You do enough times, they will. They always do. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can't wait. I can't wait to see all of the inheritance that you have given to us. But Lord God, you have given to us enough. Oh, Lord God, thank you for all that you do in our lives. More than anything else, thank you for being right there with us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.